We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call this morning. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and you are the serious guest of the audience. In Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. As always, we just want to say we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all the time, God is good. Now, we believe Jesus hung on the cross. He hung there for 6 hours with nails in his hands and his feet, shed his blood, and washed our sins away at baptism. That same blood purchases church. Only church you read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. Only one you ever heard me preach about. Because that's the only one there. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, and above all, and you all. Yes. We believe that the Bible has all the answers to what one must do before they die in order to save their soul. So you're on the call today. We pray you will obey before we turn it too late. And then to our brothers and sisters who are on the call, good to hear so many on the call this morning, and then to see so many rather, and then to those who are visiting from other congregations, you are welcome to us as well. Now, this morning, continuing our study of the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 7 now. We've come to chapter 7. We've been talking about Stephen, a man full of faith and power. This is part 2. If you really want to get to Acts chapter 7, open your Bibles up because we're going to do a lot of reading this morning. We learned from chapter 6 that Stephen had been set up with false witnesses who had falsely accused him of blasphemy. Now in chapter 7, he is going to stand before the high priest to defend himself. Now, stay with me because you got to read a lot this morning, as I said. And I won't have time to explain everything, but it's really a recap of the Old Testament. The focus for us is more on Stephen, this man who stood before this audience and proclaimed the truth. And let's go to Acts chapter 7, and verse 1. It says, "Then said the high priest, are these things so?" And Stephen had asked specifically by the high priest, were the things that they had told him about Stephen, these people who came up with a scheme to get him killed, it's going to work. But he asked him, was it true? Here comes the answer in the beginning of his death sermon. Stephen will die at the end of this sermon. It'd be the last one for him. But he would die full of faith and power. That's the way you want to die. Full of faith, full of belief that everything is well with your soul. And if you're on the call this morning, you're not full of faith, you're not okay. Your soul is in this state. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith. Let's look at this man, full of faith and power. Watch him speak now. Pay attention. Visualize being there with his Lord's Jewish audience, people who believe in Judaism. Those who have killed Jesus are there. Saul is there. Saul, we know him as Paul, but Saul right now is there listening to this sermon himself. He said, Stephen speaks now. He said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father." He too was a part of Judaism. Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, he starts his defense with his Jewish audience, with the history, with their history, which they well should know. And this all comes from what we call the Old Testament. He will be quoting Old Testament facts that they clearly will understand, starting with Abraham. Here's a brief lesson for us. Use Bible as your defense when someone questions or challenges you or other religious people who challenge what you believe. Listen to Stephen use the Bible, the Word of God, to show that Israel, these same people, have a history of rebelling against God. Verse 3, he said unto him, get thee out of thy country, Abraham, from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of Chaldeans, and dwelt in Haran. From thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. Still speaking of the patriarch Abraham, who was obedient to God. God said, go, and Abraham went. What are the similarities to Abraham and Stephen? They're both men of faith. And he's going to take us through the patriarchal dispensation of time and then to the Mosaical dispensation. And at the point where he's speaking, it would then become the Christian age or dispensation. And this is all recorded in the Old Testament, starting in the book of Genesis, chapter 11 and 12. Then he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and his seed after him. And when he as yet had no child, Abraham, my brothers and sisters, moved by faith, based on God's promise, when he had nothing, no land or no children. Yet Abraham did as God told him. Acts 7 and verse 6. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land. They should bring them into bondage, to treat them of evil for 400 years. This is known as Egyptian bondage. Egyptian bondage. God speaks that his people would be slaves for 400 years. Verse 7. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. Stephen is preaching now. He's preaching this Old Testament sermon. He's telling them the Bible about Abraham. He gave him the covenant of circumcision. They know about this. Abraham begat Isaac, circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. Here's where we get the 12 tribes of Israel, who are the 12 sons of Jacob. Stephen knows his Bible. He's walking these people through their history according to the Old Testament. My question to you this morning, do you know your Bible? Men and women of faith know the Word of God. They're students of the Bible. They know their Bible. It's why it's important to be a student and attend Bible studies and learn what the Bible teaches. Stephen knows his Bible. Verse 9, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Now he starts to point out these people's history of rebelling against God. He points out that even the 12 sons took one of their own brothers, Joseph, and sold him out of Egypt. Now he reminds them, but God was with them, Genesis 50, 20. We know that they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, Genesis 50, verse 20. Right now, as Stephen, just like right now, God was with Joseph and he's with Stephen right now. My question to you this morning, is God with you? Have you obeyed him by faith? Listen, when God is with you, no matter what people may mean for evil, God can take care of it. In Acts 7, verse 10, then, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, talking about Joseph, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Anyone come this morning with afflictions, you need God as your deliverer. Let God deliver you. Anyone come this morning need favor with God, all you have to do is obey God, and he can deliver you and set you in high places like Joseph. Look at verse 11. Now there came a dearth, which is a famine, over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. Our father found no substance, When Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 sons, 75. Look at this. Although Joseph's brothers, his family, his own family wronged him, he did what was right, and God blessed his entire family. You know, God can bless your home if there's a servant in that house. If there's one servant in the house, there's a blessing to that home because God can hear that servant's prayer. Here's a lesson. Yes, family members can wrong. There's no doubt about that. People who do love you can still wrong you. But you must stay faithful to God and don't respond in a negative or a way that's not in keeping with the will of God. No matter who wrongs you, understand this. God can take care of the enemies. If God be for you, who can be against you? Look at verse 15 now in Acts 7. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried up on the Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Now, but when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king rose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt sulkily with our kindred, and evil entreated our father. So they cast their young children to the end that they might not live. Everything God told Abraham had come to the children of Israel. Pharaoh, another king who did not know Joseph, has rose and enslaved God's people. However, God will send a deliverer. Question to you this morning. Anybody on the call needing deliverance from something? Deliverance from some Egyptian bondage or some type of bondage you've been in, maybe an addiction, something like that. Maybe you're in a bad situation and you need help out of it. I want you to know that God can always provide deliverance and will always provide deliverance for his people. Here's Stephen now. He's preaching, y'all. Stephen, a man full of faith and power, now going to remind these Jews of Moses. He's moving from the patriarchal dispensation of time, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's moving into a discussion about the one who came on the scene, named Moses, who God sent to deliver their forefathers from Egyptian bondage. Listen to him as he talks about Moses. He's moving into, as I said, the Mosaical dispensation, they call that. That just means time period. Time period, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's another time period where we learn of Moses and the children of Israel. In verse 20, which time Moses was born, was seeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day, he showed himself unto them as they strolled, and would accept them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge over us? Will thou kill me, as thou did the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight as he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, and Steve was getting ready to, he done told him the whole history of Moses. And that's a good recap of what all happened in Genesis, Exodus chapter 2, 3, and the following chapters. He just recapped. Now, verse 35, they know he's talking about Moses. He said, this Moses, whom they refused, talking about Israel, who made thee a ruler and judge, this same God seeing to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Now, Stephen is pointing out to these people how they refused the very man that God had sent to deliver them from the Egyptian bondage. He's setting them up to let them know that they too are refusing the very man who God sent to deliver them from sin. And that is Jesus the Christ. How many on this call this morning will refuse the very man God sent to deliver you from the prison of sin? Many people are locked up, shackled, and in chains by sin. But there's a deliverer. God has sent it. Stephen telling these people, God sent a deliverer to you. And he said, in verse 36, he said, he brought them out. Come on, boy. After that, he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, in the wilderness 40 years. You remember, he stood at the sea and said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And the sea parted, the water parted, and they walked across on dry land. This is that Moses he's talking about. He reminded them, this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, a prophet, here we go now. That Moses told y'all, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Moses was like a deliverer, like Christ is a deliverer. And he said, there's one coming. Like unto me, him shall you hear. This is he, verse 38, that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but they thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Look at this. Now Stephen points out, as I must point out this morning, that God delivered these people, brought them out of trouble, brought them out of slavery. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw with their own eyes, walked across on dry land, yet they would not obey and wanted to go back to Egypt. Just like people today, many have been delivered. Many members of the Lord's church that have been baptized for the remission of their sins, that have obeyed the truth. They know the truth. And some of you know, and some of you probably on the call this morning, you left the Lord. You were delivered from your trouble, from your affliction, from your slavery of sin. Yet you go back to the world and leave the Lord. Anybody here that left God, gone back to the world, you have chosen another God, little G. Why don't you come back this morning? Why don't you repent? Why don't you restore back the Lord? This is exactly what happens when you leave God. You choose another God, none other than Satan himself and his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, if ever people should be restored to the Lord, the time is now. I just don't see how people can watch the COVID-19 people dying every day. Every day, death is before us right now. If we ever was a time when people ought to obey the truth or seek the truth, it seems to me that God is telling this world that y'all don't believe in death. I'm going to show it to you. And we got people we know are dying. People healthy one day, get the COVID the next day. Just this week, preaching, diagnosed with COVID. One day, 2 days later, he's dead. What are we going to do, y'all? Are we going to fight this fight? One of the things, y'all, I've always said to myself, that no matter what's going on in my life, I never act like I'm only than thou, perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But I have vowed in my own heart, no matter what's going on with my life, I'm not going to leave the Lord. I'm not going to leave the church. I'm not going to miss worship. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. And I'm going to sit there and listen to the Lord. What are you saying, brother? When you make a vow in your own mind, you can sit there, you can worship, you can attend, you can go to Bible class. It's when we do what's important to us. One of the things I want to warn us about is that we don't want to take this online services and get used to it to the point where you don't want to go back to the building. When it's time for us to go back and we're not in danger, that it would be when you'll be forsaken the assembly. Please, listen carefully to me. When people leave God, they are putting their soul at risk. Where are you at this morning? Have you repented? Have you restored? Have you asked for prayers? Are you trying to get out of the situation you're in? Have you been attending the calls? Are you giving right? Do you give? Are you taking communion? Are you singing when we sing? Are you hearing the prayers? What are you doing spiritually? Have you thought about your life? Have you thought about it could end tonight? Could end tomorrow? It's just a vapor. Period for a little while and vanishes away. Seems like we ought to get this down. Wouldn't you commit this morning? Why wouldn't you commit? Just say it to yourself. Never going to leave the church. I used to tell my wife, I often said this, and I've said it publicly. If I leave the Church of Christ, if I leave the one church I believe in the Bible, if I start teaching something different other than that, something wrong with me mentally. I said, you just go and take me to the house where the mental patients go. Take me to the hospital. From wherever the floor is, the mental people are on. Because I have to be mental to leave this truth. Or I will be mental to preach anything other than this gospel, to preach anything other than Christ and his church, to preach anything other than baptism for the remission of sins, communion on every Sunday, the one church without instrumental music. I would be something wrong with me if you ever hear me start going along with instrumental music. If you got me, if you see me going along with beatboxing and worship, a bass mic, and you see any of that stuff going on under Brother Brooks' watch, and you hear me leave the church, you tell somebody to go get some help because I need help. Something that happened to me in my mind. That's how committed I am to the scripture. How committed are you this morning? These people have been delivered from trouble. Go look back in your life for a chance. Take a glimpse at your life and ask yourself, who brought you through those difficult times that you were having? Look at your age. Count backwards and look back as you're growing older and see how God has blessed you. Certainly, you can see blessings. Certainly, you should be able to give God credit for bringing you home from the hospital or saving your life in a tragic accident when you made it through. Or maybe you got caught up in some things and God brought you out of it. Floating near-death situations Who did that? Who gave you that second chance? Who gave you a new beginning? Who forgave you of all your sins in baptism? Who did that? Who died on the cross? What is the blood for? Do you believe in the blood of Jesus? Do you believe baptism for the remission of sins? You say, yes, Brother Brooks, I believe it. Then that's a man or woman of faith. Stephen was full of faith and power. I'm encouraging you this morning to restore back to the Lord if you've left him. Listen to what these people did. Back to Acts 7 and the verses number 40. Saying unto Aaron, make us gods. Look at that. God brought them through. Then they go back and they speak to Aaron, the priest. Make us gods, little g, to go before us. For this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we were not what is become of him. And they made a calf. Look at that. In those days, and offer sacrifice unto idols and rejoice in the works of their own hands. These people lost sight of what God did for them. I believe I see people in the church. They must have just lost sight of what God has done. I hear people with so much hatred toward another person. So sad that you can look at somebody with a political view and hate their souls. Hate them. They say, well, I don't hate them. I just don't like them. You know? No, you got to love them. You got to love their soul. Can't hate somebody for the color of their skin or what they did in the past. You can't hate folk. We can't hate nobody. People can hate. That hate cannot go to heaven. Hate is a strong term. Yes, it is. But you know, when you love that person less than God, that's hate. What do you mean? God loved them enough, even Jesus on the cross. The Father forgive them. Who was he forgiving? The very man who drove the nails in his hands and his feet, who hung him up there, who beat him with the whip, who put the crown of thorns on. Jesus was able to ask for forgiveness to the very people that were killing some of us. We ain't never asked to forgive somebody. We hold grudges. We hold grudges. We hold things against people. What are we saying this morning? You lost sight. You lost sight of your own well-being. You cannot look at other people and not see yourself. Somebody says, when you point your finger at someone else, you got four pointing back at you. What are you saying? Look at the man in the mirror. Look at yourself first. You can't see clean. But if you look at yourself, you'll see somebody who is in need of a Savior, who is in need of being forgiven. If you just see yourself, you can't hate nobody else. Because you love God. Because you know it's him who gave you a second chance. The one who gave you a new beginning. The one who brought you from Egyptian bondage, from the bondage of sin. These people lost sight. So they start worshiping a golden calf. Meaning today, choose cars, jobs, houses, and pleasures as their God. On Sunday morning, they'll take overtime and miss the services. Sunday night, or evening services, won't come back on Wednesday. Sunday morning, only worshiping. I said this before, and I still believe it today. I don't believe that's a person of faith. A person of faith, when the doors are open, they're ready to hear the word of God. They'll be there. They hear it because they need it. They yearn and long to hear the word of God being preached. Yes, people today, choosing little gods. What's your God this morning? What are you worshiping? What are you putting before God? That's your God. Anybody here that lost sight? Have you lost focus? Is it God who you worship? Do you know it's a must that you worship God in spirit and in truth? It's a dangerous turn. It's a dangerous thing to turn from the God of heaven. Listen to Stephen now as he tells them about themselves. Verse 42 on that. Then God turned. Look at that. Then God turned. See, when you turn, God turned. Then God turned. Then God turned. Underline that. And gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, Ye have offered to me slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. If one is determined to do wrong and continue to do wrong, God will turn and give you up. God is not going to make us do right. It's going to have to be a decision that we choose, a choice, a will of our own to do what's right. One thing about being a Christian is you got to be honest. You got to be honest with yourself, because God knows everything about your life. And not a thought. He knows every number of hairs in your head and every hair number. Don't you know he knows what's going on in your life? No, never, I'm never impressed with fake people. Just fake. Fake holiness. That you're so holy that you have outwardly proved that you're that holy. Man, let me tell you something. God looks on the heart. God don't look on the outward appearance. I'm not impressed with someone who just looks holy. Because I know God knows the truth. God knows the truth. And we understand this. And when God knows the truth, he knows the real you. The real you is the person listening to me preach right now. What's going in your mind is the word of God as I speak. But the real you is responding, not with your lips. You're responding in your thoughts. Your thoughts. Some of you I've touched this morning. I've already went into your home. What home are you talking about, brother? The home of that skull in your head. I'm going into your head. Those who don't give right, I'm going into your head. Those who have not been to worship, those who have not repented, those who are not restored, those who are living in sin, those who are not giving right, those who are not taking communion every Sunday, those who are on this call and you're not going to come back and the door is open. I've already came into your house. I'm coming to your home, into your head, to let you know, and you know, I know, and God know. I mean, you know, and God know what's going in your mind. You are guilty. You are guilty in the sight of God. Yes, you are. And you know you're guilty. I know where I'm guilty at, and you know where you're guilty at. But then it's never too late to change. When we start looking at our lives, it's never too late to change. And I tell you, it's okay to ask for prayer that God give you more time and God give you grace and some mercy and be long-suffering with us. Yes, we should ask for those kind of prayers because we all got some things that we can do better at. But the point I'm making now, if you have determined that you're not going to do right, God will turn. God will turn on you. And when God turns on you, some bad things can happen. Some bad things can happen. So, brother, what's the worst thing that can happen? Dying in your sin. You know the worst thing that can happen to anyone is to die in your sin. Because there's no coming back. There's a one-knob door. Once you go into death, there's no coming back to this life to get anything right. Now is the time to surrender your life to God and prepare to enter that door up there. There's no return, you all. Look at your family portraits. Look at your family portraits. Ask who's next. It's not going to change. Faces will continue to disappear in the family portrait. I never knew that my sister would leave us this year. I never thought that. I never thought my wife would be the first face for my family portrait. And I don't know who's next. You don't know who's next. But we know this. It's going to be somebody. So what do you do with that book? I'm trying to come into your head. Like, man, give it a try. Give it a value and make a commitment that then I will fight to stay in the church, to fight to live right, to stay committed to the Lord. You can do it. You can do this if you make that decision that that's the most important thing. You can do it. Why? God will be with you. Listen to this. Stephen is pointing out these people, their history. The history of rebelling against God. What's your history? How long have you shook your fist at God? You know, people, when you preach to them, It is amazing to me. You can tell people, that's one church. It says one church in the Bible. It says, no, I just don't see it. You just, you balling your fist up. And God, man, look here. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We too short the box with God. It works too short. You cannot win that fight. You won't win it. You can fight baptism if you want to. You can fight for one church, the Church of Christ, if you want to. You can say whatever you want to say, but you're not going to win. You are doomed to lose. Guaranteed. Well, God is not going to go back on his promise. He's not going to change his mind for you. You're going to have to change your mind for him. Watch this. He will point out the history. Watch this. Verse 43. Yea, he took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Rephaim, figures which ye made to worship them. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Now, which also our father that came out after bought in with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of the fathers unto the days of David. So he's into the Mosaic dispensation, who's found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God of Jacob. But Solomon, that's David's son, built him a house. This is the wise man that lived. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, said the Lord? What is the place of my rest? Have not my hand made all these things? What is God saying? He did not need them. And y'all, God don't need us. We need him. Stephen is pointing out to this Jewish audience, primarily, that God didn't need them. They needed God. But yet they had a history of rejecting that same God. Now listen to them. He's getting ready to really sting them. Now, this is for those who don't think we should be preaching and calling names and things like that. You know, I hear people say, I just think you've got to be softer than that. Well, let's see how this man of God, this preacher, deal with these people. Let's see. That does not mean he's being mean when you're telling the truth. The truth hurts. And people have to know truth. Watch what Stephen say to him. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so did you. He now says to them, you just like your fathers. They were stiff-necked and stubborn, uncircumcised in their mind. They were wrong, proven by their resisting the Holy Spirit, not willing to change. Now look at this. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? Now he points out to them, you are the very ones who did not keep the old law. You didn't keep the law and have betrayed and killed the Just One. Talking about Jesus. He's telling them, it's like he's pointing, y'all just killed the Just One. And you up here, they done lied on him. They done talked about him. They called him. They tried to set him up. And he said, y'all killed him. You did it just like when your father, you just like your fathers back then. They rejected God. You rejected them too. Stephen is preaching to these people. He's telling them right to their face the wrongs in closing. Listen to their reaction now. When people hear the truth, they're going to have to react one way or the other. Many gladly received the word when they preached it, but these folks were upset. You know, I'm telling them, when I get on the call and I'm preaching against Baptist church, Methodist church, the Catholic church, I'm preaching against the sinner's prayer, I'm preaching against women preachers, I'm preaching against instrumental music, even in the Church of Christ, preaching against these people who are bringing all this praise dance and the praise teams and beatboxing into worship. People ain't going to like Brother Brooks. They're not going to like the truth. People don't like the truth. It never did, and many people said that. I said to everyone, many people will reject, just like these folks getting ready to do. But it didn't stop Stephen from preaching the truth. And it ain't going to stop me. It's not going to stop me. I don't care what folks say. If you seek to please men, you're not going to be the servant of Christ. That's what Paul said. Listen to their reaction. Just watch the reaction of these people. When they heard these things, what things? The truth. They were cut to their heart. Truth. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body and soul, and the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is sharp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And when I use the word of God, I'm going to preach that word. I'm going to cut out. I'm going to cut it out. I ain't going to hurt. I'm going to cut it out. Cut it out. And you got to cut out that sin. You got to cut out that false doctrine. I'm going to cut out any church we do. Cutting out all this stuff we're dealing with today. All the things, the denominationalism, I'm going to cut it out. I'm going to use the word of God and cut it out. It's going to cut the hearts of those who are involved. And like you on the call this morning, you may be in one of those churches I'm talking about. It's going to cut you to your heart to know there is one church. But you know what? When you receive it with meekness, it'll save your soul. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of knowledge. Not of this, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now watch this. It was cut. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. They're upset. These folk are really upset at Stephen for preaching this truth. They gnashed on their teeth. They're grinding their teeth at him. They're upset. You know how people do when they get upset. That's something into how people are. They get so upset, they'll say anything. They what they're upset about. You're upset about the truth. You're upset. You gnash and grind in your teeth. Why? Why are you doing that? Because you don't like the truth. But people don't want the truth. And there's one thing we got to remember. No matter how much I may want my mama to be saved, until my mama want truth, she ain't going to listen. Until your boyfriend wants truth, he ain't going to listen. Until the man you trying to get to be your husband wants truth, he ain't going to obey it. Until the woman you want to be your wife and you've been teaching her the truth, she ain't going to obey it until she wants it. Your children, they're not going to obey it until they want it. These people, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were angry, furious. But he, watch him now. Watch Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, and this is the powerful part of his whole sermon, his sermon is coming to an end. He neared death. He looked steadfast. Picture this with your mind. Into heaven, he looking up at the sky. He saw the glory of God. Watch what's going on. And he sees Jesus standing on the right hand. You know, Mike and Jesus were sitting. But in this case, when Stephen was preaching this truth, Jesus stood up. That's a powerful when other people sit down on you, when you preach the truth, and this is to men on the call who are preachers, remember that God will stand with you when you preach the truth. He'll stand with you. Jesus stood up because Stephen had told these people the truth. And he said, verse 56, he said, look, behold me, look, tell the people. He said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So then they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear no more from him. And ran up on him with one accord, cast him out of the city. They threw him out of the city and stoned him. That's a cruel way to die. People just throwing stones, hitting you all in your head and knocking him out. Makes you want to cry. Why y'all doing Stephen like this? He's just telling you the truth. He tried to save your soul. He tried to keep stop y'all rebelling against God. He's letting you know you killed the just one. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet. Notice who's standing there watching all this happen. Whose name was Saul. You know who Saul is? That's Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul witnessed this man preaching the truth. But he didn't obey it either. See, every time people hear the truth, don't mean they obey it. But when he did obey, Apostle Paul, Saul became the Apostle Paul, one of the great men of God, who will preach the truth just like him. And you know what's going to happen to Paul? He's going to get beheaded. He's going to say the time of my departure is at hand. He's going to die too. He's going to be preaching a different truth. He's going to be preaching the truth that Stephen, but he's preaching the oneness of the church. It was Paul who wrote that, Ephesians 4:4. There's one body. He's the one preaching to them, telling them that it's not but one church you'd be saved in. The Apostle Paul, he was standing here and he saw them kill. Yet he didn't obey that day. He knew they were wrong. That's what happened. And they stoned Stephen. 59, verse 59. Calling up on God, calling up on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneel down. They cry with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Don't that sound like Jesus? Doesn't it sound like him when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing? See, when you look in the mirror, maybe you read my book, the man in the mirror is you. But when you see Jesus in the background, you should see a similarity to you and him. Your character should be the character of Christ. One who can forgive. One who can love. One who has compassion. And here's Stephen. He won't, God, don't charge him for killing me. And after he said that, he fell asleep. Meaning he died. Who on this call got someone that you hate so bad and can't give them? You are in a sad place in your life. You have a real serious problem because you need forgiveness yourself. And this may cut you off for me to say that to you, but when you forget that you need forgiveness and you can't give it to somebody else, you are in a sad place. Who on this call got somebody you can't forgive? Have they stoned you yet? Did they stone you? Did they beat you up? What did they do so bad that you can't stand them? What did they do? Did they beat you with a whip? Did they hang you on the cross? Why is it that Jesus and Stephen could look at the very people who hurt them and yet I have a heart to forgive them? Did I have no desire for these people to die this way? Stephen was confident that his life was okay. He was confident that he was man full of faith and power and gave his life, speaking for the same man, Jesus the Christ, who just like him gave his life to save the world. How about you this morning? Do you have a history of rebelling against God? Do you have a history of leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back? Are you one who has heard me preach on my call? I know if you've been on my call, you are just rejecting truth. Why you say that, brother? Because I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse for everything I'm saying. And I can prove it. I can't understand. I do understand. I shouldn't say that. I know people who will reject God all the way to the grave. Because that's just what they're going to do. They're unbelievers. You're a believer, you start acting like that. You act on faith. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, the word of God. When you hear the word of God, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You will believe and be baptized. Acts 20, verse 7. For on the first day of the week, disciples came together to break bread. On the third day of the week, you come together to break bread. When you believe, that faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You don't question what church. You believe it's the church in the mountain of the Bible. Which one is it? Romans 16:16, the Apostle Paul, who was standing there that day and seeing Stephen, he said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The church is of Christ. The church is of Christ all over this world. That's congregation. That doesn't mean multiple churches. It's the same church preaching the same thing, just like I'm doing in my gospel call. We bring the preachers from all over the United States, even out of Alaska, Canada, on our call. People coming all on the call. Just reaching out, or reaching out into Japan and other places, our flyers there. What's going on with the same truth? We're going all through this world. It's going all through this world. And so he did that. So I'm asking you this morning, what are you like? Are you a man or woman full of faith? Are you a believer that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Do you believe that God sent his Son to the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved? Do you believe Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary? Do you believe he lived about 33 years? Do you believe that? Do you believe he walked on the water and calmed the raging sea? Do you believe he took blood and spirit and healed the man? And his eyes could see again. Do you believe he fed those who were hungry? Do you believe he raised Lazarus from the dead? Do you believe in this Jesus that was in the garden of Gethsemane? Do you believe in this Jesus who cried to the Father, let this cup pass? But he said, not my will. Your will be done. You believe in this Jesus who left the garden of Gethsemane, was kissed the kiss of death by Judas? Do you believe that he went to the courts at night? Do you believe he stood before Pilate, the Sanhedrin court? Do you believe Pilate condemned him to be whipped with the whip called the flagellum? The Bible said they scourged him. Do you believe that? Why do you believe they beat him with that whip? They beat him with that whip because that whip was a whipping for us. But Jesus took the whip. He took it, and stripes was left on his body, meaning in the whip lacerated him, and blood flowed from him. That laceration. That's why Isaiah said, Isaiah 53, he said, by his stripes are we healed. The healing power for the sin-sick people of the world is the blood of Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that they took him and they slapped him? Do you believe that they spit on him? Do you believe they smote him with clenched fists? Do you believe they buffeted him, meaning they hit him with the fist? Do you believe that? Do you believe that they put the crown of thorns on his head? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he tried to carry the tree of the cross to the Calvary? Do you believe that he went to Calvary? Do you believe he couldn't make it? And Joseph, there we had a man, Simon helped him. They compelled him to carry his cross. Do you believe when he got to Calvary that the soldiers would pierce him in his hands and that with dry nails in his hands? Do you believe that he hung up there, a thief on the right and one on the left? Do you believe he was on that cross and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, my God. Do you believe God forsook him when he became sin for us? Do you believe on the cross he looked down and seen his mother and told him, behold, my mother? Do you believe that he was on that cross and one thief asked him that day, one thief had a change of mind, and it was Jesus who said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? Do you believe that? Do you believe he looked down at the people who killed him and spit on him and slapped him and beat him with the whip? Do you believe he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Do you believe he was on that cross when he was on the cross? Do you believe it? Do you believe him at the cross? At the cross when we first saw his light. Do you believe? Do you believe in the cross? Do you believe the cross is where he hung with shame and pain for you and all that thing chills over your body? You know what he went through. I was at the cross, at the cross. Were you there? Did I take you there? Were you there when they crucified our Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble at the thought how wretched I am. That I can have such love shown to me on the cross. I said, Brother Brooks, I believe it. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't believe it because you ever saw nothing. You didn't see not one time did you see Jesus on the cross. You believe in Jesus. You don't believe in the Church of Christ. You're not a believer. You're an unbeliever. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How can somebody say they believe what they never saw? And the same book say you baptized for the remission of sin. Now you don't believe in baptism. You're an unbeliever. You don't even believe in Jesus. Because that came from the same book. Stop saying it. Just call it what it is. You're an unbeliever. I just don't care what you say. I'm always call myself a believer. That's what these folks are doing too. And Stephen said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised. In other words, you're hard-hearted. You ain't going to want to believe the truth. But you wasn't there. You wasn't there that day when he took the Spirit. And it pierced him in his eye. From 1934. And out came blood and water. They took him down off the cross. Buried him in a borrowed tomb early that Sunday morning on the first day when he got with all power in his hands. He gave the Great Commission, as we call it, Matthew 28:18. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15-16, he commanded his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in his baptized shall be saved. What is the gospel? I just preached it to you. That whole story of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, the just one, whom those Jews killed that day. They killed him. Peter preached to him on the day of Pentecost. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told him the same thing. Stephen told him. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Acts 2:38. In the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin. What should you do this morning? What should you do? You should do the same thing. Stop rejecting God. Stop rebelling against God. And come home if you're a brother or sister in the church. Come home, my brother. You can make your confession this morning. Ask God to forgive you. Repent of your sin. And make a commitment. And when them church doors open again, I'm going to have my place. I'm going to have my seat. I'm going to be faithful to God. If you're on the call today and you left the Lord, you need to come home. Lord, I'm coming home this morning. I wander far away from sin, but now I'm coming home. Pass me not. Pass me not, O Savior. Pass me not. You don't want him to. You want God in your life. And if you're on the call this morning, you're not a Christian. What I mean by not a Christian, I'm talking about someone who's not a member of the Church of Christ. There's no Christians outside the Church of Christ. There's no Christian in other churches. No, so those are not Christians. Those are unbelievers. If they believe, they'd be saying, they would say one thing, the Church of Christ. They'd be saved in the church. If they believe, they would take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. If they were believers, they would call themselves nothing but Christians. You couldn't call yourself nothing but a Christian. That's it. There were no Methodists, no Catholic, no Baptist, none of them in Israel. You couldn't call yourself that. You couldn't do it, not use this book. And you'd be worshiping in spirit and in truth. Be taking that communion every Sunday. That's what you would be doing if you were a true worshiper. Now, if you were a Christian, that's what you would be doing. So if you're not a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. And you're not going to be saved until you obey God. The Bible said, Acts 2:47, the saved are in the church. That's right. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what God said. I didn't make that up. That's in there. So what should you do? Number one, Acts 15 and verse 7 said, hear the word of the gospel and you believe. That's step one. Number two, once you hear, you believe. Hear, believe. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith is impossible, please. And he that comes to God must believe. That's what I've been talking about. To be a man or woman of faith, you must believe. Number three, you must repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus said, I'll tell you that. Except you repent, y'all shall likewise perish. I mean, when you turn away from God, God turns away from you. But you can turn back to God. You can turn to God by saying, no, brother, look, I didn't know all these truths that you just taught me. Yes, now you can't say that no more. You heard it. Do you believe it? Are you going to change? Are you going to make a decision this morning to become a Christian? And then when you say, I want to become a Christian, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to, you're going to ask your question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You must answer that question in affirmative, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I will deny you. That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. If you deny me, I will deny you. That's what he meant when he said it too. He meant just that. If you confess Christ before men, you got to confess saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you got to understand. You got to understand that confession is confession unto Romans 10 and verse 10. You confess with your mouth that your hearts have been made to believe. When you confess and you're saying, I confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But with the heart, man believe it unto righteousness. Not saved yet, but the mouth, confession made unto salvation. Then after you're unto salvation, you're close. You ain't saved yet. Then you ask. The fifth step is that you must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and the verse number 5. It tells us that the blood of Jesus will wash away your sins. And then after you believe, you'll go down into the water of the grave of baptism. And there you're buried with Christ. Romans 6:3 and the following verses. You're buried with Christ. Acts 2:38, for the remission of your sins. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, arise, why tarriest thou? The same man that was standing there and watched him kill Stephen was told what to do by another man named Ananias. He was Saul. He told him. Saul was praying the sinner's prayer. And Ananias went to him and said, arise, get up, pray and won't save you. What you need to do, be baptized, wash away your sins, call him on the name of the Lord. That's when you can call, when after you're baptized, that's when you call him on the name of the Lord. You can't do it before that. Now, if you want to call this morning, the MC will lead us in another verse of a song, and tell you a song. What we want you to do now, what we want you to do, if you're on the call, your heart's been pricked by the message, if you're one who read and obeyed the gospel, we want you to let us know on this call that you're ready to obey the gospel. Tell us if you want to become a Christian, then be a member of the Church of Christ, and we'll take your confession on this call. We'll ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You must answer in the affirmative, and we'll hear your voice. You've confessed before me, and then we'll make the arrangement, no matter where you are in our listening audience, to get you baptized today. ASAP. That's right, my friend. ASAP. As soon as possible. Because death may be your pillow tonight. If you want to call by the MC, we want to sing a song that bring home our brothers and sisters who need to repent and confess. We ask those who need prayer, hit 5-star on your phone. Those who made a confession, hit 5-star on your phone. Those who want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. At this time, we'll let the MC lead us in our invitation song.